It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're having a tremendous start to your weekend. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker, talk to the machine, demand that it play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening. Just last hour, we talked about Ace Bailey. Can we put it to bed? Apparently, he's going to show up tomorrow in Utah. No big deal. Masai Ujiri, he can't show up in Toronto. His key card does not work. Yeah, he's been fired after they let this man make the draft selections over the past 2 days. At least last night into this morning, he was relieved of his duties as president of the Toronto Raptors. And then we talked about Devin Booker. Apparently, Devin Booker is not going anywhere. He's going to be sticking around with the Phoenix Suns for the foreseeable future. He's already in the middle of a 4-year contract. They want to tack on 2 more years? What has Devin Booker done for the Suns? I mean, when they had success, Chris Paul helped get them to the finals. Devin Booker was there. Devin Booker ain't the lead dog, but he's the last man standing. So if you've missed a minute or a second of the show, go ahead, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We got so much more to get into. To kind of put a bow on everything in the NBA, the 2-day draft, Jake Weinbach is going to join us in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk about a beef that emanated from the NBA draft. Bill Simmons versus Kendrick Perkins. Why don't they just settle this in a parking lot? I think that'll be the easy thing to do. We're going to talk some baseball. Barry Bonds being honored. We got some home run derby participants that have been announced. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And then it's Friday, so we'll take some of your jokes. Hopefully they are funny. Funny jokes for the Friday funny. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call me on this Friday. Okay, here's the phone number. It works. I've never called it. I'm on the receiving end, but I know it works. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yes, we pay our bills around here. If you have access to the internet, you can find me there. I am at JR Sport Brief. All over the place. So we talked a lot of NBA, naturally so, over the past several days. The draft is finished. NBA players, regular season is done. Postseason is done. Oklahoma City Thunder crowned NBA champs. They deserve it. They got the MVP of everything in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Good for them. Thunder were the last team standing. And unfortunately, it's just like every step of the way, as we moved on, somebody got hurt. Tyrese Halliburton got hurt. We had Tatum who got hurt. Injuries have an effect on the game, on the league, of course. Man, we talked about Masai Ujiri and the fact that the Toronto Raptors won a championship. And one of the big reasons, because the Golden State Warriors got hurt. And speaking of hurt, Kawhi Leonard is perennially hurt. But here we are, where the NBA is trying to figure out why their players keep dropping like flies. There's always these conversations about load management. Are the players playing too much? Are they working too hard in the offseason? How do we fix this? How do we rectify the situation? Man, they need to play less. Man, we need to spread the season out more. And meanwhile, Major League Baseball ain't changing from 162. But we do have the NFL that we know. They're trying to get to 18 games. We'll get to that in a minute. The NHL has made it very clear. We're going to play more hockey. And not a lot, but 2 more games. It was announced today that the NHL and the NHL Players Association they have agreed to play two more regular season games. And they've done this by eliminating two preseason games. Okay? The new CBA will go ahead and take effect next season. It's going to last, or this upcoming season, I should say, it's going to last from 2025 all the way up until 2030. Okay, so the next one ends next season, excuse me. So you tack on 4 years to that. And so the NHL will implement an 84-game schedule. Now, just a couple weeks ago, the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, he talked about the CBA negotiations going smooth. It's a good thing between the players and the owners. Listen to this.
No comparison. I think we are having very constructive, professional, cordial dialogue. We started a little bit later than we had anticipated for a variety of reasons on both sides. So I don't have an announcement to make today that we have a deal. But we have more than a year to go, and I think we're in really good shape, having really good discussions. I think that's a testament to Marty Walsh and Ron Hainsey and the people at the Players Association who have been working tirelessly with us, whether it's Hockey Fights Cancer with the V Foundation or Four Nations. I think we're in a really good place in terms of our relationship.
Things have gone so great that they've added two games. Now, what's the big deal with two games, right? Typically, the players can go around and sit around and say, hey, well, we want more money. But what difference does it make if you got to show up for a preseason game, right? It's not a big deal. And you want to talk about adding games to the calendar? What's two games? Nothing. Hockey players are actually tough. Hockey players will take a hit and keep on moving. Okay, hockey players are not here for load management. They're not like NBA players. They actually play. So kudos to the NHL for getting two more games that actually mean something. No, it's not a big thing. You're already running around, skating around for 82. What's two more games? Now the NFL, that's a completely different animal. I'm still trying to get with the NFL. Right now, saddling us with 17 games. I find that to be wholly unnecessary. I find it to be wholly ridiculous. I was perfectly content with 16 games. What did we need 17 games for? There was no reason. I don't think NFL fans were sitting around clamoring for 17 games. And now we damn well know that them moving to 17 was only a precursor to ultimately push the envelope to 18 games. Who wants 18 games of an NFL season? I don't think the players want 18 games of an NFL season. And it's enough that they're beating the living hell out of each other week after week after week. Why do we need 18 games? This has been rumored for years. We know it's going to take place. And then Roger Goodell said as much. Listen to what he said back in January.
I think if we continue to focus on the safety, I think 18 is a potential. And as you know, we would take a preseason game away. So we would keep within that 20-game framework. We actually started 14 and 6 preseasons. We went to 16 and 4 and now 17 and 3. So 18 and 2 is a logical step. But we would only do that with the players.
Come on. We'd only do that with the players. Yeah, you have to go ahead and have an agreement with the players. And they're going to want to know, are we getting extra money for this? And then you talk about safety. We know damn well the NFL doesn't care about anybody's safety. NFL cares about making money first, which is why they want to expand to 18 games. They want to open the stadiums up for another day. They want the concessions. They want to squeeze a couple more dollars out of Amazon and Netflix and ABC and Fox and CBS. That's why they want to add another game. 16 to 18. There was a point in time where the NFL only had 14 games. In the NHL, two games ain't nothing. It's a long-ass season. If Major League Baseball woke up and said, we're going to add another game, here, 163 is just another one. not an even number, but it's just another one. The NFL adding two games, going from 16 to 18, that's a lot. And look, it's a business. Everything is a money grab. But if the NFL cares about so much and player safety, why the hell are they doing Thursday night games? Why they got these guys running around on Sunday to go right out there and bust ass again on a Thursday? Why do we have football on Friday? Okay, why are we doing Black Friday football? Why at the end of the season are we now not giving guys a week rest? Now we got to move them from Sunday to Saturday. If the NFL gave a damn about players' history, why aren't they upfront about injuries and CTE and health? This is a load of crap. That much we all know. Roger Goodell ain't going to never tell the truth about nothing. We just found out early this week that the NFL colluded to pretty much put a foot down on guaranteed contracts. I'm supposed to believe the NFL when they say something? Yeah, we'll move to 18 games if, you know, we can get to a place of player safety. Load of crap. Hey, Botcher, do you care about more football? Do you need another game? Is it in your veins? You itching for it?
I'm not itching for it, especially because the Jets suck. It's just another game where people can have year-long injuries and complain. So I think they're at almost a perfect level right now. I don't know why they went to 17 in the first place. They're fine with 16, but I guess that one game made a small difference in money.
Yeah, well, it's a biggest step. Like, that was the whole point. Hey, we, the NFL, cannot officially just jump to two more games. We have to slow walk it. Like, you got to go out there and crawl before you walk. It was never an intent to say, hey, let's get to 17. The intention was to always push to 18 games. And you want to know something? As crazy as it sounds, I don't know if it's going to take another 20 years or 25 years. And maybe the players and their bodies will be able to sustain it better. Because let's be real, things are less physical. It's still a violent game. You can still go out there and your life can alter and change in the blink of an eye. Go ahead and ask Damar Hamlin. We all know the game is crazy, but it's not as violent as it used to be. And so if we now move into an era of two-hand-touch football, don't be surprised if in a few decades the NFL says, you know what we need right now? 20 games. Give me 20 games of NFL football. I wouldn't be surprised. And so 17 was the appetizer just to go ahead and set up 18. And what's next? Adding more and more and more. We already see the NFL trying to expand out into Europe. I do not knock them for it. I think it's genius. I think it's brilliant. But I think putting it out there about player safety, that's what we care about. That's what we need to consult on. That part is a hot load of garbage. Hot load of garbage. Yeah, stinking on a summer day. Smells terrible. I will say this. Another thing that Goodell said, which makes these commissioners just funny when they speak. Roger Goodell actually talked about taking away a preseason game and adding a regular season game. Like the two are equal. Like instead of me giving you a salad before you eat, I'm going to give you cake first. Nah, you ain't doing me no favor by giving me cake before the meal. You're not. Because giving somebody a preseason game is garbage. People give those tickets away. The stars aren't playing. The name brand dudes aren't out there. The preseason is pretty much glorified practice for guys who are trying to make the team. And so them dudes that you see in preseason, you really ain't going to see much of them at the end of the season. Come on now. We took away a preseason game so we can think about adding an extra game. Well, them stars wasn't playing in preseason anyway. How about this? Keep preseason where it is. Or maybe eliminate a preseason game. We need less of those. Let them two guys, you need two games to evaluate and keep it moving. You can't sink or swim in practice. You can't sink and swim in a game. We don't need to see another preseason game to make that determination. So the NFL is full of crap. We don't need 18 games. We didn't need 17. But congratulations to the NHL for actually being able to have a discourse between their players and the owners without the world going to complete crap. I don't know, maybe Major League Baseball can take a note. Maybe the NFL can take a note. Maybe the NBA can take note too. Apparently the NHL is going to have labor peace until 2030. And after that, go ahead, NHL, add two more games. NHL doing something better than all these other leagues. And certainly the NFL. Just a bunch of liars. Big corporations do it all the time. Lie. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with Jake Weinbach. Jake is going to put a bow on this past NBA draft for us. Ace Bailey is showing up to work, and Devin Booker is getting a deal, and Cooper Flagg looks like he's going to play point guard. We got a lot to discuss with Jake on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, after 2 days, the NBA draft is done. We got executives who've been given the boot. We have executives who've been putting their foot in their mouth. You don't have to look any further than Denver. We got teams that actually did something they should have done, like the Dallas Mavericks. And we have players who have apparently been unhappy but will still show up. I'm looking at you, Ace Bailey. To take a look at everything that took place this week, now that the draft has concluded, we're being joined by Jake Weinbach, who covers all things NBA as an analyst and a writer. Jake, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, now that the draft has concluded, besides Mr. Cooper Flagg, what has captured your attention the most?
Yeah, there were some teams that had some really good drafts in this class, and I want to start with the San Antonio Spurs. Obviously, the Mavericks were a winner in this draft with Cooper Flagg, but the Spurs come out of this draft with Dylan Harper and fellow lottery pick Carter Bryant, two guys I was personally very high on. They should become immediate contributors for this promising team around Victor Wembanyama. They really caught my eye. They did not make any offers, reportedly, for Kevin Durant, so they clearly believe in the young core that they have, and they are clearly on the run here as they try and make a playoff push next season.
Oh, Jake, the San Antonio Spurs just seemingly always win in the draft. They certainly know how to go out there and pick them. Is there a team that you take a look at that concluded the draft and left you scratching your head?
Yeah, there were a couple teams. I think you have to start with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, coming into the draft, they had five first-round picks. And on all five, I thought they kind of stretched on. I don't know if any one of these players that they picked is going to become a franchise player. I think they kind of just took darts at these guys and are hoping that one of them is going to hit. And one could very well hit, but I just thought they could have had a better draft class considering that they were the first team ever to have five first-round picks in the same year.
And damn it, they went out there and used every single one of them. Not too far from Brooklyn, New York, I do want to ask you about the Philadelphia 76ers. They picked up two notable players, Jani Broome, also V.J. Edgecombe. We know about the veterans that are on the team expected by Daryl Morey to go out there and to compete for a championship. But all of the talent that the Philadelphia 76ers already have, albeit injury-prone, how does Edgecombe and Jani Broome potentially fit in if they're healthy and or even hurt?
Yeah, Edgecombe should be a guy that can contribute right away. He's an explosive athlete that has promising defensive upside as well. Reminds me a bit of prime Victor Oladipo. I think that is his potential in the NBA. He was prolific at Baylor as a scorer and as a defender. And I think he really has solid potential to become an impact player in this league. And if the Sixers don't re-sign Quentin Grimes, who they very well might, Edgecombe start in that two guard spot right away, and really, really become one of these core guys for the Philadelphia 76ers moving forward.
NBA analyst and writer Jake Weinbach is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Outside of VJ Edgecombe, looking at to make an immediate impact, what other players do you think we'll see a lot of this upcoming season? Maybe they haven't gotten as much attention over the past 2 days, but do any other players stand out?
For the Sixers?
For anybody. A player particularly. Forget the whole league, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so many interesting moves in this draft class. I got to get a lot of credit to the Atlanta Hawks, moves that they made to acquire Kristaps Porzingis and then move back from number 13 in the draft to 23 and still getting their guy in Asa Newell while collecting a very valuable 2026 first-round pick unprotected from either the Pelicans or the Bucks. Again, that could be a very valuable pick in next year's draft, which is a very deep draft class. So the Hawks are making moves in what will be a wide-open Eastern Conference next season. So the Hawks really caught my eye. The Phoenix Suns, we got to give the front office a lot of credit too. They were put in a difficult situation, you know, after the Kevin Durant trade. But, man, have they done a terrific job rebuilding this roster around Devin Booker. They now have their own young core that includes Jalen Green, Common Maluach, Mark Williams, Rashear Fleming, who was a steal at the 31st pick in the draft. So the Suns, the Hawks, really making moves here. I don't know if Phoenix will be competitive in the West. I doubt it next year, but really starting to build a culture and a foundation there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. When you think about getting Maluach out of Duke and then trading for Mark Williams, and then you still have to get rid of Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker will be extended. To me, it's a lot of confusion. What are they doing with all of those bigs?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I don't think Phoenix thought that Maluach was going to be there at number 10. And I think they already had a deal in place for Mark Williams before that, because they literally acquired Mark Williams as soon as the Maluach's name was called with that number 10 overall pick. So maybe it'll work out for them. You know, they're both two promising, still very young centers that can be franchise guys for the Phoenix Suns. So we'll see how it works out. Worst case scenario, if one of them isn't a good fit, they can move on via trade.
Jake Weinbach is here with us, NBA analyst. I'm still trying to understand why the Toronto Raptors let Masai Ujiri make their draft selections, ultimately to figure out that they're not a married couple anymore this morning. What the heck is going on with the Raptors?
Yeah, you know, I believe Bobby Webster was the main guy that was kind of in charge of the draft process throughout these last couple of weeks. But it was very surprising to see Masai leaving Toronto, but what an incredible career that he had running those operations for the Raptors. You know, built a championship in 2019. He deserves a lot of credit for building the foundation and the culture there in Toronto. So, yes, it was surprising, but the Raptors organization should be forever grateful for everything that Masai Ujiri has done over the last decade for this organization.
When you think forward, though, you look at the talent that he's brought in. They won a championship, obviously, in 2019. But bringing in the Brandon Ingrams of the world, the Emmanuel Quickleys, the R.J. Barretts, the Grady Dix, what happens next? Like, they haven't had success. This iteration of the team hasn't even played together yet. Do you think that whoever runs the team next, I mean, granted, he was the president, but he oversaw everything. Do you think they'll make changes with this roster?
I think they'll make changes around the edges. The Raptors are now going to be competing for a playoff spot. They have the talent after acquiring Brandon Ingram last season, and this team is due to make a jump. And they're on the books. You know, they're very close to the tax threshold. So right now, the team direction needs to be moving forward and not backwards towards more of a rebuild. This team needs to start going for it. Again, they have the talent. They have promising young core. But now it's time to maximize Scottie Barnes and this team to really try and make a playoff push and be competitive in the East again.
Well, Jake, you talk about being competitive. There's an expectation for the Dallas Mavericks to be competitive now that Cooper Flagg is on the squad, and we know about the injuries to both, definitely to Kyrie Irving. We know about the injury, susceptibility to injury with Anthony Davis. What do you expect from the Mavs this upcoming season?
Yeah, so Kyrie is going to be out for a while, still recovering from that Achilles injury. So keep an eye on Dallas targeting a point guard in free agency or on the trade market. They can kind of fill in his footsteps to begin the season. But, I mean, this is a team that has title expectations. You know, if they don't win a championship this season or the next few, then it may be a bust for them. After trading Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, this team is all in. They have really no future assets left remaining. This is the team that they've built that's going to be expected to win a championship. So expectations will be high. Obviously, they have an amazing trio with Kyrie once he's back healthy, Cooper Flagg, and Anthony Davis, and really good role players that will complement those three stars. And they're locked in for the foreseeable future. So the title window is now for Dallas, and that's all that should be expected of them for the next few years.
Okay, yeah. I think Nico Harrison might be the only guy, you know, hoping and praying hard for that one. When you think about Ace Bailey, so much said over the past week into this week. He shows up. He doesn't show up. Tomorrow he's expected to show up. What are your thoughts on how this ultimately has culminated?
Yeah, it was a really bizarre situation, right? We don't really see this very often. It's rare that his representation trying to force him to a team that he would desire, that would give him the most clear path towards superstardom. But I think this is a blessing in disguise. I think the Jazz are a very good situation for Bailey. They have a really, really nice coaching staff, another promising young core there in Utah that he can grow with. So I think it's a good landing spot for him, and I do think he will report to Utah this weekend and play in summer league with the team. But I got to give the Jazz credit for making this pick, even though Ace Bailey made it very clear that he did not really want to be there. They still made the pick because he has superstar potential in this league. And I think that Ace Bailey is going to be a very, very productive player for a long time in the NBA, in Utah or without.
And Jake, final question for you, man. This time, well, not even this time, end of the season. Regular season is over. Who do you think has the best chances of being Rookie of the Year? Is it just Cooper Flagg, or is somebody going to snatch that from him?
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that's going to be Cooper Flagg if he stays healthy. But if you had to throw a dark horse out there, I think Dylan Harper has a good chance. And if Ace Bailey is the starting small forward for the Jazz and gets the opportunities that he desires, I think there's a very good chance that he can blossom right away and challenge Cooper Flagg for that Rookie of the Year honor.
Okay. Well, it looks like he's going to show up to work tomorrow and kind of get things started on his NBA career with the Utah Jazz. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Jake, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and all of your work.
Absolutely. You can follow me on X at JWeinbachNBA. I post daily with all news, alerts, information, intel, everything covering the NBA. So I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and good to be back.
No doubt about it. That Jake Weinbach, NBA writer, NBA analyst. I'm really looking forward to seeing these guys perform and play in summer league to see who might be sticking around. Well, not in the league, but who's sticking around and who's going. Like, the good thing about summer league is it's not just the superstars that we watch play. You also get a chance to see dudes who are just trying to put food on the table, trying to make an NBA roster on the back end. It's not just the stars who are already multimillionaires. We got guys who are trying to They're trying to put some bread in the oven, okay? Trying to make some money. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of money, if these two guys fight, who are you putting your money on? Bill Simmons and Kendrick Perkins got a beef. And no, it's not about food either, okay? I'm going to explain on the other side of the break. It has to do with the NBA draft. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a newsflash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Yeah, and I love wives. Wives are amazing. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, wives are great. Wives are great. Yeah, I love wives. I'm no problems with anybody married to nobody, though. I'm on my business. Just anyway, thank you so much to Jake Weinbach for joining us in the last break. Appreciate him for coming on by and sharing some of his NBA draft expertise. We can go ahead and chalk up Cooper Flagg to being the rookie of the year. I would say so. I'm not wishing injury on the man, but he'll probably be rookie of the year unless something happens with him, okay? Anyway, now that the draft is over, we talked about some of these teams that are just made some dumb decisions. You know, I think the Toronto Raptors getting rid of Masai Ujiri after the draft doesn't make too much sense to me. That has nothing to do with anybody that they selected. And then it was 2 days here of draft. 2 days of who's this guy? Where's this guy going? Or is Ace Bailey going to play? We had 2 days of that. But then we also had beef. And because we had 2 days of the draft, and day number one was broadcast on both ABC and ESPN. Thank God I'm here in the studio. I don't necessarily have to, listen to a whole lot that's going on. I can't. I'm sitting here in the studio. Now, having said that, if you're watching that TV at home, you heard a lot of Stephen A. Smith. You heard a lot of Kendrick Perkins. And somebody that was not a fan was Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons listened to it all. And he pretty much said on his Ringer podcast, he wasn't a fan of Kendrick Perkins and some of his takes. Listen to this.
I didn't know which telecast to watch. It was like, do I take this samurai sword and jam it into my temple? Or do I take this chainsaw and saw my leg off? I couldn't figure it out. Perk, they took Colin Murray-Boyles and Perk said they have the pieces. They're a top six team in the East. And at that point, I started looking for a third ESPN channel, but there were only two covering the draft. There wasn't a third one, at least one that I couldn't find. But I didn't mind that pick. And then Malowicz at 10. And then we had a trade. And then the draft started getting really weird. Cedric Coward, Memphis, moves up with Portland. Malika calls him Colin Coward, which was exciting. I thought Colin Coward got drafted for a second.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Here we have Bill Simmons, who is one of the biggest guys in the sports media space, taking a dump on Kendrick Perkins. Now, Botcher, we have the benefit of sitting here in the studio and not having to worry about any of it. Do you care who they have on a broadcast during the draft?
I actually do. I'd rather see guys like Bob Myers or any other former GMs. Like Bobby Marks, okay, cool. Bob Myers, great. I want to get an inside look of what the room looks like compared to, you know, a former player in Kendrick Perkins and or, you know, just a media personality like Stephen A. Smith. When you get the small details of like, oh, this is what it's like to make a trade during the draft, or you got to like think of the salary cap here, it's a lot better for someone at home to ingest what's going on.
Well, you have the benefit of now sitting here with me. We're on the air while all this is going on. And so are you paying attention afterwards? You going through clips? Or do you really dive into Kendrick Perkins or anybody?
No, not at all. The only thing I would see is like if one of the aggregators repost someone freaking out over a trade or anything like that. That's the only thing I'll ever see from the actual broadcast.
Okay. Well, apparently, and to the surprise of nobody, I mean, if you're going to sit around and talk about how much it hurts your ears to listen to Kendrick Perkins and some of his takes. Kendrick Perkins naturally decided to respond. Kendrick Perkins sat in his car on his phone like someone who was a jilted teenage lover. Kendrick Perkins responded in a rant on Bill Simmons. Listen to this.
Bill Simmons, Cupcake Gas. Always got my name in his mouth, but I'm going to address you Sunday, okay? Believe that. I'm going to address you on my special edition, me only, yours truly, Sunday on Road Tripping, okay? They give me my spot, and I'm going to get on your ass like back pockets because I'm not tired of you. I don't know who anointed you, the preacher or king of the head honcho of overseeing basketball and way things need to be. Man, what have you done? What have you done? What have you done, period, in the game of basketball? Have you ever played? And I usually don't even address people because I don't even be really caring about it, but it's kind of pissing me off because you feel like you're sitting on this throne. You got in your feelings. You got in your feelings because I said that I felt like the Toronto Raptors are going to be a top six seed in the Eastern Conference this upcoming season. So that wasn't a crazy take or anything to that nature. It's a real thing, fool.
I never heard that first one before. What did he say about back pockets? What did he say?
Reaching for something. I don't know. It was a statement I've never heard before.
Yeah, I've never heard it before. He said, like, I would say play it again, but not really. I mean, damn. Was it really that serious? Kendrick Perkins, I feel like every couple of months he has somebody to have a beef with. I mean, he was beefing with Brian Scalabrine. Why can't we all just get along? Is it really that difficult? That serious? Kendrick Perkins versus Bill Simmons in a fight. Kendrick Perkins a little bit older. Well, he's old as a basketball player. A little bit heavier, but he's still a gigantic human being. You think Bill Simmons stands a chance? He has to get dirty, right?
Got to go very low then on Kendrick Perkins if you want a shot there.
Can Kendrick Perkins, like, realistically, can he move? If you hit him in the knee one time, is he not done?
Well, you can get to his knee, but if he gets his hands on you, you're done. Like, he grabs you, this is not going well for Bill Simmons.
And so you're Bill Simmons and you're going to fight Kendrick Perkins. Let's say you're literally in a wrestling ring. What are you doing first?
Running around for a little bit, tire him out, you know, boxing strategy. And then, I don't know, back of the leg.
Like, you're going to rope-a-dope Kendrick Perkins before hitting him in the back of the leg?
Yeah. That's the plan, is it not?
At that point, do you think you'd be successful?
Maybe. I think he would just give up. You know, if you run around for long enough, he'll just be like, why am I even fighting this person?
Okay, you want to gas him out. Okay. Well, apparently, Bill Simmons had a response, but I want you to hear more of what Kendrick Perkins had to say first. Listen here.
Why was that like, oh, Perk, he said this, and I'm a man, shut up. You didn't think before you started drinking them Heinekens. And then you got your little peanut gallery up on the podcast who just agree, yeah, Bill, yeah, you're right. Stand up. Man, shut the hell up. The hell you done done. But I'm going to get more on your ass come Sunday. Believe that. I'm going to finish doing my research on you. Enough is enough. Like you some type of head honcho. You ain't no shot caller.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins is more of an entertainer here. Kendrick Perkins, I don't sit and watch. I don't know what he... I guess he's on the he's on the pregame, right? Is that what he does?
Something. He's on everywhere I go, Kendrick Perkins is. And I don't know if he has like a solidified spot.
He's never said anything that made me go, oh, how quite insightful. Bill Simmons did respond to him on social media. And he says, I'm honored that you sat in your car for 2+ minutes to scold me on your iPhone like this, even though we are a combined age of like 92. If you actually think Toronto will be top six in the East and anything other than a most fun place to visit, let's wager on it ASAP. Yeah, so Kendrick Perkins asked to get down on a little bit of a bet, a little bit of a wager. He then said, I couldn't wait for Sunday. I had to address Bill Simmons and the Ace Bailey situation. Kendrick Perkins, 2 hours ago, decided to put this on his YouTube. I'm not watching that. Maybe at some point over the weekend I see the highlights. But just another media beef. Congratulations to Bill Simmons, who's made his money not beefing, but being in media. And now Kendrick Perkins, who has made his money and bones in media. It's a success for Kendrick Perkins. He could be sitting on his ass at home eating, I don't know what he likes to eat. Just go ahead and fill in the blank. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I have to tell you about an individual. He might be sitting on his backside right now, or he might be biking around San Francisco. I have no idea. But he will be immortalized with a statue. His name is Barry Bonds. Barry is getting immortalized. Does he deserve it, though, or is he a cheater? We'll get into it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.